A couple of weeks ago, I was on vacation, and we had a doctor in to talk about vaccinations, and we've asked her to return to talk specifically about Zika. And this is Dr. Christelle Ubudo, Assistant Professor of Child Health at the University of Missouri School of Medicine and Pediatric Infectious Disease Physician at MU Healthcare. Doctor, nice to meet you. How are you?
Nice to meet you, David.
If that is too high, feel free to bring that down, because there you go. That thing moves all over. Mm-hmm. All right. We were talking off the air. It seems like I don't think we like being scared about health issues, but it seems like we embrace some fear about things that regularly come up. I might say bird flu, you might say Ebola, now we might say Zika. Mm-hmm. So how have we arrived at this point right now where we are fearful of Zika?
I think the fear of Zika is because Zika is spreading to areas that have never seen it before. Zika was first discovered in the 1940s in parts of West Africa, and then eventually we saw some disease in Southeast Asia. But since the early 2000s, it has kind of spread into the Pacific Island and then hit the Americas. So I think part of what is so scary about it is that these are countries that have never seen it before.
If Zika has been around since 1940, why does it seem like we're ill-prepared for it now as far as vaccinations or treatment or dealing with it?
Because it used to be really confined to a certain population, and it came in waves. And Zika doesn't kill people to the extent of some other disease processes, and so that's why there hasn't been such a focus on it in the past.
Where does the name Zika come from? Do you know?
Yeah, so Zika, it's actually a river bed in Tanzania. That's where it was first discovered, as people were studying yellow fever virus back then.
And that's one of the reasons that it's capitalized. It would come from a specific name, a proper noun of a riverbed.
Yes.
As of right now in Missouri, what is the level of concern about Zika?
There is a potential that we do have the mosquito that carries Zika here, mainly in our southwest part of the state. So there is a potential that Zika could spread here. But again, it's really hard to gauge how that potential is going to play out. We initially said that, you know, we were not going to have any cases, but now we've seen cases in Florida. So it's really hard to gauge how big of a deal it will become if it gets to us.
Help us understand some of the basics about this. Originally, when Zika started making the news several months ago, it seemed like it was sexually transmitted, and it came from South America or Central America countries. And unless you traveled there, you didn't really have much to worry about. What has developed since then as far as the experts' knowledge about Zika and its transmission?
Zika is primarily transmitted through the bite of the mosquito, the Asian tiger mosquito, Aedes mosquito. And so the fear is that we do have those mosquitoes here, and so they can potentially bite somebody who's infected and carry that virus to other people. And that's how it's been spread. Other than traveling, that's how we're now seeing it spread in the U.S.
How many cases of the transmission within the United States are you aware of?
Of about a dozen to 20 cases in Florida.
I saw something last week, and my wife had seen this also, and the headline in the Washington Post was, Zika can infect adult brain cells, not just fetal cells, according to a study. Would you help us understand that better and what you have heard of that?
So Zika virus is in the same family as West Nile virus, if it helps people understand that. So West Nile, we know it well. It's been around for a long time, and we know that it can affect the brain and cause inflammation around the brain, inflammation around the covering of the brain, and that's how people get sick from it. The reason why it is a bigger deal in infants is because their brain is still developing. And so when those neurons are infected, they don't have that potential to grow anymore, as opposed to adults whose brain are already fully developed. Hmm.
So if an adult received a bite from a mosquito that had the Zika virus, let's say it's an adult male, so we don't even have to worry about whether that person's going to be pregnant or not. Mm-hmm. Would that be just a minor discomfort for a while or what?
Yeah, so most people do not even have symptoms. So only 1 out of 5 people who are infected actually have symptoms. And those symptoms are mild headaches, fevers, body aches, red eyes that last for about a week, and then people are better. So it looks a little bit like the flu when people first get it, and it doesn't last very many days. About a week is what we see on average.
This is unique to a certain type of mosquito, or are other mosquito types going to be able to carry this virus?
It's unique to a specific type of mosquito.
I saw in a story from the New York Times, and this was from yesterday, that they have started spraying in some parts of New York City, which surprised me because they don't have any evidence of it being there right now. Is this overreaction in your opinion?
I'm not sure if it's overreaction. I think every state at the health department level do what they need to do. If there's evidence that there's a potential for that mosquito to be in the area, it would make sense for them to take more measures to control the mosquito population.
They were talking about the Asian tiger mosquito. That sounds like a nasty mosquito.
Yes, it is the Asian tiger mosquito.
So it says in the New York Times, and you can help me understand whether we need to know more than this. While the Asian tiger mosquito has not yet been shown to be an effective vehicle for the spread of Zika, and there have been no locally transmitted cases in New York City, officials are still moving aggressively against the pest. I guess the deeper question for me is, I think that doctors and physicians keep their feet on the ground in these kinds of situations. Mm-hmm. I wonder whether officials that are not always dealing as you are as a physician are responding to public need and fear, and we don't need to respond like we do all the time. Do you have an opinion on that?
But I think part of any epidemic is really the being able to respond to the fear that people have. So if there's a potential for the mosquito, it would make sense to try and control it. But again, we have to keep in mind that those individuals who get affected, only 1 out of 5 will actually have symptoms. And so, yes, it does cause devastating infections and complications in newborns. But overall, the majority of people who have an infection don't even know that they have an infection.
Now, that would be in newborns. Newborns who would be bit by a mosquito or transmitted from the mother to her fetus prior to delivery.
Transmitted from the mother. And that's been part of the problem, is that some of these women did not have symptoms at the time that they had the infection. But then when the babies are born, they have what we call microcephaly, which is a smaller head because the brain stopped growing while they were in the womb.
And that scares. I think that scares everybody who would think of a baby that was born and didn't have a chance because of something that was transmitted. But what you said, I think, worries a lot of people, is that the mother showed no symptoms prior to that. So how do you know? I mean, that's a scary thing.
Yeah, so for women who have traveled to areas where Zika is currently active and has been found, it is recommended that they, if they're thinking about getting pregnant, that they delay that for 8 weeks. For women who are already pregnant, that they will get tested during pregnancy for us to watch and make sure that we follow that baby.
What kind of test is available, though, that would show, even if there were no symptoms apparent, where would you see in a test, what kind of test would show? Was it a blood test that would show certain abnormalities? What would show that?
So there's a combination. So for pregnant women, we do ultrasounds on the baby to look at the baby's brain as they're developing. And for those who have symptoms, there are some blood tests that we do as well.
Our guest is from the University of Missouri. And again, I have to get she's assistant professor of child health at MU School of Medicine and pediatric infectious diseases physician at MU Healthcare. Her name is Dr. Christelle Ubudo. There is a pair of headphones right there, doctor, and you have to have those in order to hear any question or comment from a listener. Caller, do you have a question or comment for us? Good morning. I think someone has called me twice on that. I don't know whether you are staying connected or maybe being disconnected, but you can join us at 442-8255, and we'll do the best we can to hear from you. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
She mentioned that Missouri has the mosquito that transmits the disease. What is that mosquito, and in what populations?
Okay, thank you. Keep listening. Is that the African one? I'm sorry, the Asian tiger mosquito that
yes,
I mentioned?
Yes, it is the Asian tiger mosquito.
Asian tiger mosquito. Do we have that a lot? I mean, is that our main mosquito in Missouri?
It's not our main mosquito in Missouri, but it has been found in the southwest parts of the states.
I guess the difference as far as people hearing the stories about Zika, what are, help me with the terminology of this, Zika virus or Zika cases that have originated in Missouri or Zika cases that have come from someone who has traveled and traveled back probably with the Zika virus?
Yeah, so far we don't have any cases of a Missouri resident having Zika from mosquitoes here. The cases that we have had in Missouri are from people who have traveled to another place where we know Zika has been around and we know we've been testing for it, and then they come back and have symptoms.
All right, thank you. Caller, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I did. As I understand it, these exotic diseases are coming in here with our aliens that Obama unleashed on us, maybe partly.
Well, you know, are you going to ask a question other than making a political attack, or should I cut you off now?
No, I think mostly you're going to find that these there's a lot more than Zika coming into the United States.
All right. I'm not going to ask you to comment on a political situation here, but can you say that anyone could be, anybody bit by a mosquito that's carrying that virus, regardless of their nationality or background, could potentially be sickened by the Zika virus?
Absolutely. Look at the Olympic Games are currently taking place in Brazil. So any of our athletes who are currently there could come back and have Zika virus, because we know we've seen some cases there and we have mosquito there. So it is not nationality based. It's more travel based. So anybody who goes to those areas for businesses or other purposes can potentially come back and have the symptoms.
And that has happened in places like Miami or mm-hmm. some places in Texas. Those have been travelers that
yes.
have gone Americans and have come back and carried that with them.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised, though? The Olympics are just wrapping up now, just wrapped up with the closing ceremonies last night in Rio. And that was one of the fears going down there. And many athletes said, I will not go and participate for fear of being bitten by a mosquito with Zika. We haven't heard, but is it too early to draw any conclusions about the safety from Zika by those who participated in Rio?
It depends on where they are and what their whereabouts are. This mosquito is a mosquito that's an aggressive daytime biter. So it bites people mainly during the daytime, but also can at nighttime. So as long as people are taking precautions to protect themselves from insect bites, the chances of them getting bitten by the mosquito is really, really small.
And I would guess anyone who went to Rio, either as a competitor or a staff member, a coach, or a spectator or fan, was probably well advised about this.
Absolutely.
In the travel plans. Is DEET the best way of preventing this? Because anybody who's traveled to any other country sometimes, especially countries where insect bites are a possibility, we've often been advised to put any kind of insect repellent that is heavy on DEET.
Yes. So DEET is by far the best that we have. Some people you can also use the permethrin soaking for clothes, especially for people who are traveling. They tend to last a little longer on clothing, but DEET is by far what is recommended.
Do you have time to stay through a commercial break and we'll
yes.
come back? I've got a couple more questions that we want to find out what's happening as far as from a medical and from a research perspective on the Zika virus. We've asked Dr. Christelle Ubudo from the University of Missouri to stay with us, and she will after this on KFRU. It's News Talk 1400 KFRU, part of the programming on KFRU, brought to you by American Red Cross, reminding you that one blood donation can help save the lives of up to three people. Make a difference in the lives of others. Give blood through the American Red Cross. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org today. Well, that leads me to another question for my guest on KFRU, and that is Dr. Christelle Ubudo, who is assistant professor of child health at MU School of Medicine and pediatric infectious diseases physician at MU Healthcare. I would suppose, I mean, listening to what I just read as far as blood donations to American Red Cross, there's got to be a way to tell whether those blood donations are safe now, too, as far as Zika virus is concerned.
Yes, they do have some guidance as to how to test the blood supply that they're getting. And people who have been, again, to a Zika endemic area or who have had Zika virus are not encouraged to give blood. They can avoid it.
Now, the University of Missouri Healthcare is a resource center for information about this. What if people have questions that they're not hearing answered today or they need some clarification? What are the resources available?
So there is a hotline that they can call. It is open primarily during the daytime, but they can leave voice messages overnight. There is a website that you can go to. It's www.muhealth.edu/Zika, and you can email on that from that website. You can have direct information from the website that is also directly related to the CDC and what they've been telling us as far as updates.
And again, I'll repeat that. If you have a question you want to directly ask the question, you can email it to Zika, Z-I-K-A, at health.missouri.edu. I see a phone number here with the 573 area code, 771-9452. So email me or ask me if you didn't catch that by yourself, and I will pass that on to you. You know, we were talking about some of the other states and what they're doing. In the New York Times article I referred to a moment ago, it was interesting because they quote Joseph Conlon, who is a retired Navy entomologist, who is a technical advisor to the American Mosquito Control Association. And it was talking about how, and others are saying, this is the another person who chimes in on this also, is from the Deputy Commissioner for Environmental Health in New York City, that mosquitoes can breed in a space as small as a bottle cap with a dollop of water in it. Standing yes. water is becoming the real bad character in this play.
Yes, and these mosquitoes, again, have been around for a long time. These are the same mosquitoes that carry yellow fever. These are the same mosquitoes that carry West Nile. And so these mosquitoes over time have also learned better ways for them to breed and you know, continue to progress. And so they really need very little water, standing water. So things like buckets or watering pots or cans, those things can really create a good breeding ground for the mosquitoes.
You mentioned West Nile virus. What is its status right now? Is it treatable? Is it something? Because we don't hear about that much anymore. Every once in a while, you'll hear about a case of West Nile.
Mm-hmm.
But is it being eradicated? Is it still like it was? It's just that we have grown tired of talking about this and have substituted something else in its place?
No, I think to some degree, we haven't seen as many cases of West Nile virus as we have had in the past. And there's really no vaccines. There's no medication that we give per se, but to make sure that people recover from the infection. And so understanding, I think part of the fear around some of these viruses is really understanding what they do. So if we understand what the symptoms are from when somebody gets infected, how long does it take for them to have symptoms? How long do the symptoms last? And what are the potential complications? I think once we have better understanding of those patterns, it is easier for us overall to deal with these infections and these diseases.
How well do humans build up, regardless of any medication or vaccination, how well do we build up tolerance to things like West Nile virus or Zika virus?
So once somebody has been infected with Zika virus, their body will make proteins to remember the infection so that if they're exposed again to the virus, they are not likely to get sick again from it.
How about those who are not have not had a case of it? Are we somehow also just through the threat of it being, you know, that almost sounds, it sounds like a dumb question I'm asking right now, but are we better to tolerate certain threats from our environment without having to have the disease?
We are better if there's many people in the community who have that immunity so that the cases are less, and so the potential of this becoming a bigger deal is less. And for Zika right now, we are not at that stage, but other countries who've seen it for years, decades, they're where it goes through waves, just like we have the flu here. But overall, there's not the majority of people who get infected are not sick.
What do you anticipate a vaccination someday that we would give our children about Zika?
Yes, I know there are people working on a couple of vaccines for Zika virus.
Do you have any advice to those who might be traveling to Miami now, which seems to have been expanding its area of concern about Zika, or traveling to some of these southern states where the climate or the environment is such that it would make it very much more conducive to Zika than what would be in the northern states?
Yeah, so if they don't have to go, I would advise people not to travel. If they have to travel, again, the key is mosquito prevention with, you know, wearing long sleeve shirts, pants, light colored clothes, and then wearing and then putting on mosquito repellents whenever they're out and about, and just being aware of the environment. If they're in an area where it's hot enough and they don't have AC, to use screens or to use mosquito nets to prevent the infections.
Would a hard freeze take care of the mosquitoes?
It could. So we don't know the potential of if the mosquitoes are dead versus in
kind of like hibernating.
In hibernation, yeah. I'm not sure that we really understand what that does.
So in other words, we may not see mosquitoes here coming up when it gets into the cold of the fall and winter, but when they emerge again next spring and summer, it's hard to tell whether all of those that had Zika would be gone or whether they would still be around.
Yes, I'm not sure that I can answer that.
Yeah. Anything else you want to leave us with that would be important to kind of leave as a lasting impression when people are hearing daily stories about Zika?
I think the main message for me is that it is not equal to some of the other epidemics that we've seen recently. For example, the Ebola epidemic, where the majority of people who had that infection actually died from it. In the case of Zika virus, it's very different in the sense that most people who get infected don't even have symptoms. And of those who have symptoms, only very few people actually have enough that it becomes a problem. And so putting in that perspective that it is not as severe or as deadly as some of the other infection that we have seen also helps people ease the fears a little bit.
And again, what you're saying is very important for all of us, but if you are a woman pregnant or anticipating a pregnancy, that level of concern would be different than for the rest of us.
Yes.
Doctor, thank you.
Thank
appreciate you,
for having
you being
me,
here. Dr. Christelle Ebudo, Assistant Professor of Child Health at the University of Missouri School of Medicine, also a pediatric infectious disease physician at MU Healthcare, has been our guest.